ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भगवद गीता चैप्टर 16, चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द डिवाइन एंड द डेमोनिक नेचर्स, टेक्स्ट नंबर 1-3। श्री भगवान उवाच, सिंस दैट्स नो बोर्ड आई विल जस्ट रिसाइट द वर्स देन द ट्रांसलेशन। अभयं सत्व संशुद्धिर् ज्ञानयोग व्यवस्थितिः दानं दमश्च यज्ञश्च स्वाध्यायस्तप आर्जवम् अहिंसा सत्यमक्रोधस् त्यागक्षान्तिरपैशुनम् दयाभूतेष्व अलोलुप्त्वम् मार्दवम् ह्रीरचापलम् तेजक्षमा धृतिशौचम् अद्रोहो नातिमानिता भवन्ति सम्पदं दैवीम् अभिजादस्य भारत। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, fearlessness, purification of one's existence, cultivation of spiritual knowledge, charity, self-control, performance of sacrifice, study of the Vedas, austerity, simplicity, non-violence, truthfulness, freedom from anger, renunciation, tranquility, aversion to fault finding, compassion for all living entities, freedom from covetousness, gentleness, modesty, steady determination, vigor, forgiveness, fortitude, cleanliness, and freedom from envy and from the passion for honor. These transcendental qualities, O son of Bharata, belong to godly men endowed with divine nature. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In the beginning of the 15th chapter, the banyan tree of this material world was explained. The extra roots coming out of it were compared to the activities of the living entities, some auspicious, some inauspicious. In the 9th chapter also, the devas or godly and the asuras, the ungodly or demons, were explained. Now, according to Vedic rites, activities in the mode of goodness are considered auspicious for progress on the path of liberation. And such activities are known as Devi Prakriti, transcendental by nature. Those who are situated in the transcendental nature make progress on the path of liberation. For those who are acting in the modes of passion and ignorance, on the other hand, there is no possibility of liberation. Either they will have to remain in this material world as human beings, or they will descend among the species of animals or even lower life forms. In the 16th chapter, the Lord explains both the transcendental nature and its attendant qualities, and the demoniac nature and its qualities. He also explains the advantages and disadvantages of these qualities. Today we are reading from the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which is entitled The Divine and the Demoniac Natures. So from this Sunday onwards, we are actually beginning a series of lectures, the divine qualities which Krishna is describing in the 16th chapter of the Gita. So as we read in the Srila Prabhupada's purport, Srila Prabhupada says that in the 16th chapter, Krishna describes the divine qualities, the demonic qualities. It is also describing the advantages and disadvantages of these qualities. Like in these first three verses, Krishna actually describes the divine qualities. And then in the fourth verse, Krishna actually describes the demoniac qualities. He says, pride, arrogance, conceit, anger, harshness and ignorance, these qualities belong to those of demoniac nature, O son of Pritha. Then after describing the divine and demoniac qualities, Krishna describes the advantages and disadvantages of both of them in the fifth verse, where he says, Daivi Sampad Vimokshaya Nibandaya Suri Mata Mashuchas Sampadam Daivim Abhijadosi Pandava. He says, the transcendental qualities or the divine qualities are conducive to liberation, whereas the demoniac qualities make for bondage. Do not worry, O son of Pandu, for you are born with the divine qualities. So before actually describing the divine qualities, first we need to understand why we need to develop these qualities. Just like a teacher before actually describing the subject matter, he actually describes the benefits of learning the subject matter. Like in Bombay, many places we see that there are advertisements for different coaching classes. So when they advertise for coaching, in order to inspire people to join those coaching classes, they advertise the results of the coaching classes. They say that so many persons have passed with 90%, so many persons have scored 95%, so many persons have passed with so much of marks. So by seeing the results of the coaching classes, people become attracted. So they can also describe about like how many hours they have coaching, which teachers they have, etc. But then the best way for advertising is by describing the benefit of the coaching classes, by describing how many people have passed with such high marks, that will inspire the people to attend the coaching classes. So similarly, Krishna describes the divine and demonic qualities, then immediately after describing them, in order to inspire the people to develop these divine qualities, Krishna is actually describing the benefits of developing these divine qualities and what happens when a person actually develops demonic qualities. He says, Daivi Sampad Vimokshaya. The divine qualities are conducive to liberation, whereas the demoniac qualities will actually keep one bound in this material world. They are only conducive for bondage in the material world. So, and moreover, Krishna says in the 8th chapter of the Gita, this material world is a place of misery. Dukalayam Ashashvatam. So if we develop these demonic qualities, then we will have to remain in the material world, which is actually nothing but a place of misery. Although there may be happiness in the material world, but that happiness is actually very flickering. This world is actually simply only filled with miseries. Like Srila Prabhupada would give a very gross example. He would say that just like when a person goes to pass stool, one cannot avoid actually passing urine. So similarly, when a person actually enjoys some happiness in the material world, one cannot actually avoid suffering miseries. In fact, one will actually get very little happiness, and after that, which will be followed by a huge distress. So when a person develops these demoniac qualities, one will be bound to, again and again take birth in this material world. Whereas when a person develops these divine qualities, they are conducive for liberation. One can actually transcend the material world and go back to the spiritual world. So Krishna gives a list of divine qualities. But today we are going to describe one particular divine quality which is conducive for liberation, which has been told to just told to me to discuss on, this Sunday. So the divine quality which we are going to discuss today is Swadhyaya. Swadhyaya means study of the Vedas. So this is an important quality which one must develop for advancing the spiritual life, which will help one to transcend the material world. So we will actually, in today's subject matter, in today's talk, we'll try to discuss different reasons for why we should cultivate this divine quality of studying the Vedic scriptures. So as you know, the Vedas, the word Vedas means knowledge. In the Niti Shastra it is said, education or knowledge is like a holy kamadenu cow, because it bears fruits in all seasons. And because kamadenu cow, it actually fulfills, it's such a cow that it fulfills the desires of anyone. Whatever desires one may have, actually the kamadenu cow will fulfill. So similarly, knowledge will fulfill, bears fruits in all seasons. And when a person goes to the foreign land, a person who has knowledge will be actually respected and honored. And it is also said that knowledge is like an inbuilt secret treasure house. It's like an inbuilt secret treasure house. So when, because of having the treasure house, wherever a person may go, actually he'll be respected. So this knowledge, how do we actually acquire knowledge? So there are three ways of acquiring knowledge. They are called as pratyaksha praman, that means knowledge acquired through direct sense perception, and anumana praman, or knowledge acquired through inference. One actually tries to speculate by thinking, oh, maybe it is like that. Through induction, one tries to acquire knowledge through one's mental speculation. And the third way of acquiring knowledge is Shabda Praman, means hearing from the Vedic scriptures, hearing from the revealed scriptures. So the first two ways of acquiring knowledge, Pratyaksha Praman and Anumana Praman, they are actually imperfect because both of them depend on our material senses. And our senses are imperfect in nature. In fact, human beings have four defects. That is, the four defects are, we have imperfect senses. Like for example, our eyes can see only objects in a certain wavelength. And our ears can hear only vibrations and from 20 hertz to 20,000 hertz. So our senses are imperfect. And because our senses are imperfect, we actually get illusion. We cannot know, we cannot perceive things properly. When we are illusioned, we actually commit mistakes. When we commit mistakes, we try to cover up the mistake by trying to cheat others. So because Pratyaksha Praman and also Anumana Praman, they depend on our senses, which are imperfect in nature, the knowledge obtained through Pratyaksha Praman and Anumana Praman, they cannot be, they are not always correct. In fact, most of the time, we cannot get proper knowledge through Pratyaksha Praman, Anumana Praman. Like even recently, like in the searching for Vedic India, His Holiness Devamrat Maharaj gives an example how, according to science, the degree of a person's intelligence is determined by the amount of brain substance a person has. But actually, there are evidences which actually tell that although a person has very little brain substance, he has got a lot of IQ. Like I was reading in the Vedic times, one devotee was publishing, and it was described that like in the 1981, the University of Sheffield, there was a student who went to a doctor. So when he went for his medical problems to the doctor was surprised that this student had an abnormally large head. And then the doctor tried to examined the head of the person. He actually, the doctor actually did a brain scan of this person. And then he found that this person actually has very little gray matter. Practically his brain was missing. But actually this student was a very brilliant student. He had an IQ of 126. In fact, he was a scholar in mathematics. So later, because this information was exciting to the scientists, because according to the scientific dogma, their belief is a person's intelligence is actually determined by the amount of brain substance a person has. But then, in this particular instance, although the person practically had no brain, but he was a very intelligent person. So Devamrita Maharaj gives a conclusion. He says that according to the Vedic science, every person is actually is a spirit soul. And the spirit soul, we have a gross body and a subtle body. And the soul, the gross body is made up of earth, water, fire, air and ether. And the subtle body is made up of mind, intelligence and ego. The soul actually operates through the entire gross body. And the subtle body operates through the nervous system. Just like a software engineer, he actually exhibits his intelligence by using a sophisticated computer. So similarly, according to the Vedic Vedas, brain is like a tool which is used to exhibit one's intelligence. The person's intelligence is not determined by the amount of brain substance he has, but actually brain is simply a tool which is used to exhibit one's intelligence. So similarly, just like a software engineer, he exhibits his intelligence through a sophisticated computer. Similarly, a person exhibits his intelligence, the subtle body operates through the nervous system in which the brain is present. But even if a sophisticated computer is not present, but an intelligent person, intelligent software engineer can exhibit his intelligence even with a less developed computer. So similarly, although a person may have very little brain substance, a person can exhibit his intelligence. Although one may have very little brain substance. So this evidence shows that this evidence shows that a person's intelligence is not determined by the brain substance, which is actually contrary to the scientific dogma. So science actually believes in direct sense perception, because scientific knowledge is, most of the scientists, they develop the theories based on the direct sense perception. So because of that, a person thinks, a person has high intelligence because of high brain substance. But in this case, the brain substance is not there, but still a person is highly intelligent. So this shows that pratyaksha pramanas cannot be always depended upon. Because through a direct sense perception, we see that person has very little brain substance, but a person has high intelligence. So in this way, we can understand that pratyaksha praman and anumana praman, they are actually imperfect. They are not the best ways of acquiring knowledge. So the best way of acquiring knowledge is Shabda Praman. Especially when we want to get knowledge of subject matter which is beyond our experience, which is beyond this universe, one has to actually depend on Shabda Praman. Because even to get knowledge about this particular universe in which we are living on, when we actually depend on Pratyaksha Praman and Anumana Praman, the knowledge is most of the time incorrect. Then what to speak of when we want to get knowledge which is beyond this universe? So we have to actually depend upon Shabda Praman. So the Vedas actually, because Vedas actually emanate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of the Vedas, Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is actually beyond these four defects, So the Vedic knowledge is perfect. So the knowledge from the Vedas will actually never change. Although one may not be able to, sometimes the Vedic knowledge may be controversial, or it may appear to be false, but actually when we put faith in the Vedic literatures, we see that those things which are mentioned in the Vedas, they are proved to be true much later by the scientists. Like Prabhupada gives a simple example of cow dung. According to the Vedic scriptures, if a person touches the stool of an animal, one should take bath. But the same Vedic scriptures tell that if a person touches cow dung, stool of cow, one need not take bath. In fact, one gets purified by touching a cow dung. So one may think, well, wow, it's a controversial instruction. Why it is said that one should not touch the stool of any person, any animal, but then it's mentioned that one can't touch the stool of a cow. So, but later on, scientists actually found that cow dung has such antiseptic properties. So because of that, it's actually considered to be very pure. So in this way, we see that Vedic scriptures, the knowledge from the Vedas is actually beyond, it's not subject to these four defects of the human beings. Because the Vedas are called as Apaurusheya. The source of the Vedas is the Supreme Personality of God. So, the Vedic knowledge basically deals with three subject matters. The Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, all the verses in the Vedanta Sutra, they can be classified into any of these three subject matters. That is Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojan. Sambandha means the relationship between the living entity and the Supreme Personality of God. And Abhideya means the process of establishing that relationship with the Supreme Lord. And Prayojan is the ultimate fruit of establishing that relationship. So what is Sambandha Gyan? What is the relationship between the living entity and the Supreme Lord? So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Mamai Vamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. All living entities are part and parcel of me, O son of Arjuna. Arjuna, all living entities are actually part and parcel of me. So the Sambandha Gyan is actually simple, that all of us are actually part and parcel of God. Just like a part of a machine is actually supposed to serve the machine, just like suppose in a computer there's so many screws are there, motherboard is there, screen is there. But the purpose of all these parts are actually supposed to serve the whole body of computer. Similarly, all living entities are supposed to serve the Supreme Lord. So that is the Sambandha Gyan. And what is Abhideya? What is the process of establishing the relationship with the Supreme Lord? That is the process of devotional service or Bhakti Yoga. So the devotional service, which Rupa Goswami describes, Anya Bilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavrutam Anukulyena Krishnana Shilanam Bhakti Rutama. The process of devotional service is actually the process to establish one's relationship with the Supreme Lord. And the ultimate fruit of establishing the relationship is actually love of Godhead or Krishna Prem. So Vedic scriptures basically tell about these three subject matters, Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojan. So let us see some reasons as to why we should read these Vedic scriptures. In fact, the first and foremost reason is actually every person by instinct, he wants to know about something unknown. Like one devotee was giving his experience, like he gave this Srila Prabhupada Leelamrita to one of his cousin brother to read. But his cousin brother refused to read that book. But later he actually found the same brother reading such a very thick book on how to use commas and punctuations. So he was surprised, like he thought maybe this person refused to read this book because it's such a thick book. then the same person was reading a book, a very thick book on some weird subject matter, like how to use commas and punctuations. So he was actually making a comment that actually every person, by instinct, every person wants to know about something unknown. Like Srila Prabhupada writes in a purport, he says, people in general have a taste for literatures by instinct. If a person is not reading spiritual literature, he will be reading some literature. Because by instinct, we want to know about unknown subject matters. But they want to hear and read from authorities something about the unknown, but their taste is exploited by unfortunate literatures which are full of subject matter for satisfaction of the material senses. So when a person is not reading spiritual literatures, when a person reads mundane literatures, so he is exploited by so many motivated persons who actually publish so many unwanted literatures in the form of newspapers and magazines. So it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sarva Vedanta Saram hi Sri Bhagavatam Ishyate Tad Rasamrita Triptasya Nanyatrasya Tratikvachit. It is said, Sarva Vedanta Saram hi. Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of all the Vedas. Sarva Vedanta Saram. And when a person develops a taste for reading Srimad Bhagavatam, then he loses attraction for reading any other literature. We see in this world, when a person reads mundane literatures, he is never satisfied. Like newspapers. Can a person be satisfied reading same newspaper every day? Like suppose today newspaper comes out. Can a person be satisfied by reading today's newspaper for the next 1 month? In fact, after 1 or 2 hours in the morning, people lose taste for reading the same newspaper. So then they just throw the newspaper. So magazines, same case with all the magazines, all the mundane literature, they cannot satisfy a person permanently. In fact, they give just a flickering taste. Because, in fact, newspapers, they actually contain the same news, only the names and places are changed. So, on the other hand, when a person develops taste for reading Srimad Bhagavatam, which contains the glories of the Supreme Lord, then one is no longer attracted by any other literature. So, the purpose of life is to develop attraction for subject matter of Supreme Lord, which is actually contained in Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, Srila Rupa Goswami gives another reason for why one should actually develop attraction for reading spiritual literatures. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he says, even one has a little taste for the topic of bhakti, he can understand bhakti. He who tries to understand bhakti by dry logic cannot understand it because logic is insubstantial. So the qualification for devotional service, which is the process of abhideya. What is the qualification for devotional service? That is, one has to develop a taste for devotional service. So, Rupa Goswami says, in fact, Srila Jiva Goswami writes a purport, he says, what is this? He says that this taste especially refers to taste for scriptures like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. That is why if we read in the Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada says, anyway, for persons who have a natural taste for understanding books like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, devotional service is easier than for those who are simply accustomed to mental speculation and argumentative processes. So here we see one of the reasons for why we should actually develop attraction for reading or hearing these scriptures is that it is actually a qualification for devotional service. The qualification for devotional service is one has to develop taste for devotional service. And this taste especially refers to attraction for reading or hearing scriptures like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So one has to actually develop this higher taste. Like one devotee was giving an example. In fact, one devotee went to, for some temple permission, he went to one, I think for some temple, some ratayata, some permission for some temple festival, he went to a police station. So that police officer asked, how is it that you Hare Krishna people follow such rules and regulations? How is it that like you follow four regulative principles and all the time you just chant Hare Krishna mantra, you just read Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. You don't have anything for entertainment. That he was asking. So this person, like, he was surprised that police officer asked, how is it that like, you are not doing the other things which people in this world are doing? You don't watch, like many of you, those who are practicing seriously, like they don't take anything which is not offered to the Lord. They don't go to movies, etc. So then this police officer was asking this devotee, how do you actually practice this process? Don't you get bored? That he was asking. So this devotee was saying, he gave a prasadam packet to that person. So that prasadam contained some groundnuts. So he said, do you like this prasadam? He said, yeah, I definitely like this prasadam. And then he said, suppose instead of giving this groundnuts, if I give you some roasted groundnuts, will you take this or the roasted groundnuts? He said, no, I will definitely take roasted groundnuts. And then he said, instead of giving roasted groundnuts, if I give you some kaju, will you take kaju or the groundnuts? He said, I'll definitely take the cashew nuts. And he said, instead of that, if I give you some roasted, salted cashew nut, which one will you take? I'll definitely take the roasted, salted cashew nut. Then he said, this is what actually Krishna consciousness is all about. So because he said, when a person is having a higher taste, he automatically actually he loses attraction for other things which people usually have attraction for. So similarly, it is said that when a person develops taste for reading the scriptures, when a person develops a taste for Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, then automatically actually one loses attraction for other things. So that is actually the purpose of life, to develop attraction for the subject matters. Like Gaurang Prabhu usually gives this reason for why actually we should read scriptures. He says, to come to Krishna consciousness in this Kali Yuga, it is actually very difficult. Krishna says that manushyanam sahasreshu kashchit etati siddhaye. Out of thousands and thousands of people, one may take to Krishna consciousness. So to come to Krishna consciousness in this age is very difficult. But it is even more rare, even more difficult to stay in Krishna consciousness. So many people may come to Krishna consciousness, but it is more difficult to actually stay in Krishna consciousness. In fact, once Srila Prabhupada said, like some devotee left practicing Krishna consciousness. So this devotee came to Srila Prabhupada and he was like, his faith was shaken. So he said to Prabhupada that this devotee has left practicing Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada said, do not be surprised by people leaving Krishna consciousness, but be surprised by how many people who actually stay in Krishna consciousness. So to stay in Krishna consciousness is even more difficult. But it is even more difficult to stay happy practicing Krishna consciousness. So reading these scriptures actually plays an important role in practicing Krishna consciousness in a happy mood, to practice Krishna consciousness happily, reading scriptures is actually one of the important aspects which actually helps. Then the third reason for reading scriptures is that one has to read scriptures for one's own personal conviction. Just like to practice Krishna consciousness, one needs inspiration. Like some years back, it was reported in one particular jail in Punjab, some criminals were actually fled from the jail. And it was actually well-protected jail. But these criminals actually escaped from the jail. And then they made a severe investigation as to how they actually escaped from the jail. And then they found out that these criminals, they had actually digged a tunnel from the jail to the outskirts of the jail. And then they went inside the tunnel and then they saw that how they actually digged the tunnel and where the tunnel actually is reaching outside the jail. And then they found some books in the tunnel. Those books were about the great escapes from the jail. How different criminals actually escaped from the jails and they had actually written their experiences. So the point is that like even these criminals who actually wanted to escape from the jail, in order to get inspiration, they were reading some books as to how to actually escape from the jail. So similarly, this material world is actually compared to a jail. If we want to actually escape from this jail of the material world, we need inspiration to practice Krishna consciousness. That inspiration can be found by reading Srila Prabhupada's books. So that is why it is important to read Srila Prabhupada's books. In fact, it is said that there are more than 500 or 600 organizations in the world which actually openly propagate atheism. So when we actually meet people who are actually atheists, we may even defeat them in argument. But then, if we are not reading Prabhupada's books regularly, if we are not reading scriptures regularly, although we may defeat the other person in argument, but we may be shaken from within. Because we may not have personal deep conviction. So, we have to read Srila Prabhupada's books for our own personal conviction. So, just like in a fire accident, suppose a fire accident happens, the common people, they will start panicking. But a trained firefighter, he'll not panic when fire breaks out. Because it is like normal for him. So he will just carefully go and then he'll actually extinguish the fire. But a common people will panic. So similarly, when we do not read scriptures regularly, and when we actually meet with difficult situations in our life, then our whole consciousness will be actually occupied by that situation and we'll start panicking. But on the other hand, when we read scriptures regularly, we will be able to deal with the situations in the right attitude, in the right mood. So that's why it is important that one reads scriptures for one's own personal conviction. And it is said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Siddhanta boliye chitte nakara alas, iha haite Krishna lage sudrida manas. It is said a sincere student should not neglect the discussions of philosophical conclusions, considering them controversial. For such discussions strengthen the mind. Thus one's mind becomes attached to Sri Krishna. So many times, when we read scriptures, many portions may contain lot of philosophy. So we may actually get bored by them. But Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami is saying that One should not neglect those philosophical discussions, because those discussions will strengthen the mind, and one's mind will become attached to Krishna. So that's why Srila Prabhupada says in a purport in the 8th canto, he says that anyone trying to become Krishna conscious must know the Lord's glories as far as they are possible to understand. So although the Lord's glories are unlimited, one should actually try to understand the Lord's glories as far as one's capacity. So one may say, ultimately Lord is inconceivable. Lord's glories are unlimited. So what is the point in reading scriptures anyway? We can't understand Lord is unlimited. Then Srila Prabhupada is making this purport. He says that anyone trying to become Krishna conscious must know the Lord's glories as far as they are possible to understand. And when we do not read scriptures, spiritually a person will become weak over a period of time. Just like a few weeks back, like in the deity room, we had called some carpenter. He was examining the wood, the different portions. So he was touching different portions in the wood, and we were seeing whether termite is there in the wood. So, like when we see, when you actually try to understand these termites, you will not be by just seeing the wood, you won't understand that actually termites are eating away the wood from within. But termites, when they enter the wood, they start eating the wood. Then slowly and steadily, after a period of time, it actually eats away the wood to such an extent, and suddenly one day you just touch the wood or you just beat the wood, and immediately the wood actually collapses. So similarly, when a person does not read scriptures regularly, the material desires within the heart, they make a person weak. And then suddenly, we see that a person actually leaves practicing spirituality, because he is not reading scriptures or he is not hearing scriptures regularly. So that is why one has to read scriptures regularly. When you read, when you see in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna talks about the austerity of speech, he says, Anudvega karam vakyam satyam priyahitam chayad swadhyaya abhyasanam chaiva vanmayam tapa uchyate. The austerity of speech is that one has to speak in a pleasing way, and one should speak in a way that will not agitate the other person, and one should speak the truth. Anudvega karam and swadhyaya abhyasanam chaiva. That means recitation of Vedic scriptures, that is also an austerity of speech. And Prabhupada especially translates Swadhyaya as regular recitation of Vedic scriptures. So one has to regularly read scriptures, so that will actually protect one from becoming a victim of material desires. And reading scriptures actually give one the inspiration and courage. Just like when for a swimmer, the most important thing for a swimmer is to have the confidence. Although one may be an expert swimmer, but if he loses the confidence, then however expert one may be, nobody can help. Only another expert swimmer can help. Although one may be trained so much, but then if he loses the confidence, then he may actually lose his life. So similarly, in order to have confidence, in order to have the courage and inspiration to practice Krishna consciousness, one has to regularly read scriptures. And so reading scriptures is not only important for our own personal conviction, it is also important for to preach Krishna consciousness to others. So when we actually, because our ISKCON Krishna consciousness movement is actually a preaching movement, it is not that like we want to be satisfied with our own practice of Krishna consciousness, but you want to share this knowledge with others. Because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that one who shares this knowledge with others is actually the most dear person. So one has to share this knowledge with others. So when we actually try to preach Krishna consciousness with others, to others, then, and when somebody asks some question, at that time we can't actually start reading the scriptures. Suppose a person goes on a hunting excursion and then he sees a tiger or a lion. At that time, if he starts sharpening his sword, will he be able to kill the animal? He'll be killed actually. So similarly, like when one has to actually read scriptures, one has to be learned in the scriptures so that when a person goes to preach, that he can actually preach effectively. Like Srila Prabhupada writes a very beautiful point in the sixth canto. In the sixth canto, when this episode of Ajamil is described, so this person Ajamil, when he was in the deathbed, he was actually chanting the names of Lord Narayan. In fact, he was actually chanting the names of his son, whose name was Narayan. But because he was chanting the names of Narayan, the Vishnudutas came. In fact, Ajamil had performed so much of sinful activities that Yamadutas came to take away the soul of Ajamil to the hellish planets to give him punishment. But because he was chanting the name of Lord Narayan, although he was referring to his son, Vishnudutas came to Vishnudutas also came at the same time. So that time, Vishnudutas stopped the Yamadutas to take away Ajamil to the hellish planets. So Yamadutas were surprised. Because first time they encountered somebody who actually stopped them from taking away a sinful person. So then there is a conversation which happens between Yamadutas and Vishnudutas. So Vishnudutas ask the question to Yamadutas. They say that if you are actually servants of Yamaraj, you must explain to us the meaning of religious principles and the symptoms of irreligion. Because the Yamadutas, they are taking away, they told the Vishnudutas that we are taking away this Ajamil because he acted against religion. He performed sinful activities. But then Vishnudutas say, if you are actually messengers of Yamaraj, you must actually explain us, you must explain to us what is religion and what is irreligion. So there Srila Prabhupada says that one who represents someone else must fully know that person's mission. The devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement must therefore be fully aware of the mission of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. Otherwise, they will be considered foolish. All devotees, especially preachers, must know the philosophy of Krishna consciousness so as not to be embarrassed and insulted when they preach. So one may say, oh, I am not a preacher. But actually, every person in the Krishna consciousness movement is actually a preacher. Because all of us, we are actually supposed to share this knowledge with others. In fact, even if you don't preach, sometimes people may ask questions. Because practicing Krishna consciousness, it's like going again, it's like swimming against the current. So when people see devotees practicing Krishna consciousness, following, chanting Hare Krishna mantra, following four regulative principles, like people are surprised, how can somebody lead such a life? So they will ask questions. So in order to answer them, at least, so we have to regularly read Srila Prabhupada's book so that we are equipped with the answers to answer the people, to preach Krishna consciousness. And one may say that, okay, I'm not interested in preaching. I'm not interested in preaching Krishna consciousness. I just want to practice Krishna consciousness. And in order to practice Krishna consciousness, I need inspiration. but I can get inspiration from by hearing from the spiritual master and hearing from the sadhus. So what is the need to actually read scriptures? So there are these three things: guru, sadhu and shastra. So ultimately we need inspiration to practice Krishna consciousness. So if I can get inspiration to practice Krishna consciousness by hearing from the spiritual master and hearing from the sadhus, then what is the need to read books? Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he writes a very interesting point in his book. He says, we should seek a healthy interdependence between guru, sadhu and shastra. He says, it is healthy to avoid both an attitude of extreme dependence on any of these three as well as one of extreme independence. If you want to progress in Krishna consciousness, if you want to make a healthy progress, it is healthy to avoid both an attitude of extreme dependence on one of the three and also extreme independence on one of the three. Like for example, suppose a person thinks, I don't have to read scriptures, I will just hear from the spiritual master, I will hear from the guru, from the different sadhus. If a person thinks, I will just hear from the guru, that is sufficient for me to practice Krishna consciousness. But then one may not have the opportunity to hear from the spiritual master all the time. In fact, one may have opportunity to hear from the spiritual master only for few months in a year. And one may not have the association of devotees. If a person thinks, I will hear only when certain devotees or certain sadhus speak, then that is also not a healthy way, because in order to practice Krishna consciousness, we need to have regular inspiration. And when we do not regularly hear, because those devotees may not be available regularly. So when you do not regularly hear, then we will lose inspiration. So that will, then our material desires will increase. Sometimes one may be actually transferred to some place where one may not have the association of a spiritual master, or one may not have association of devotees. Then how can a person actually practice Krishna consciousness? How will a person get inspiration? So in such circumstances, if a person has cultivated the habit of reading scriptures, then he will still get inspiration to practice and preach Krishna consciousness, even if a person does not have association of devotees. Or suppose a person is waiting in the train station or an airport, and most of the time we don't have like taste for chanting. And then like suppose the train is late by many hours. So what will he do for many hours? You don't have any devotee with you, or you don't have taste that you can chant so many rounds. So if you have developed a habit of reading books, so that time we can spend our time reading Srila Prabhupada's books, and in this way we can actually remain inspired to practice Krishna consciousness. So that is why it is important to depend on these three, and depend on all these three, guru, sadhu and shastra. So that is actually healthy for our progress in Krishna consciousness. Then another reason for, in fact, another reason which usually devotees give for not reading Srila Prabhupada's books is, they say that Prabhupada's books are repetitive, because of that it's very boring. Many times people say almost the same thing is being repeated in every purport, in every chapter of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So it looks very boring, people say. So like Gaurang Prabhu usually give this analogy. He says that like when a criminal is caught by the police, in order to actually bring out the criminal mentality, in order to actually prove that person is a criminal, the police interrogator he will ask different questions to the criminal. Suppose he will ask 25 questions, out of the 10 questions will be repetitive. But he will ask the 10 questions in a different manner. He will ask the same questions in a different way in order to find out whether he is giving consistent answers. If he is giving inconsistent answers, then he will come to know there is something wrong with this person. He is actually the criminal. So similarly, when we are disturbed by the same thing, when we are disturbed by the same thing being repeated in different purports, that actually shows that our rebellious attitude towards Krishna. So that helps us to diagnose our disease. So we should not be disturbed. Oh, why it is so repetitive? Oh, it is so boring. So when we feel, oh, it is boring and repetitive, that is a sign that we are having the disease. Disease is actually deep-rooted. The criminal rebellious attitude towards Krishna is there. So that is why we find it boring. So that should actually give an impetus to take shelter of the books in a more helpless manner, so that it will actually, Krishna will give us the taste to read the books. And in fact, like in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 11th canto, in one particular verse, when Uddhava talks about the qualities of Krishna, he says, Tasmat bhavantam anavadyam anantaparam. One of the qualities of Krishna, which Uddhava says, is Krishna is faultless, anavadyam. So in this world, when a person tries to establish relationship with other person, initially the person appears to be faultless. But when a person starts spending time with the person, then he comes to know so many faults in the person. Like for example, initially when a person joins a company, he thinks, oh, this company is the dream company I'm looking for. It's the best. Oh, they're offering good package. They're having so many facilities. I remember, you know, studying in the college, in the campus interviews, the companies would, before the interviews, they would talk about the particular company. They would say that, so if you join our company, we'd give so much of package. Sometimes some companies, I remember that, like they said that within the company quarters, we have swimming pool, we have table tennis court, and this thing are there, so that when you get bored with the work, you can go and play. It's like a trap to make a person keep on working. So, and they say, oh, we'll give you so much of employee stock options. And they tell the glories of the company. And then students, when they say, oh, this is the right company I'm looking for, this is the dream job. And then they join the company. And then invariably we see that after a few years, we don't find the person working in the same company. They go to some other company. So initially the company or the boss appears to be faultless. But then after some time, they realize so many faults in the person. Similarly, in any material relationship also, initially we see that this person is the perfect match. He is having no faults. But then after some time, we see that he actually has so many faults. But in the case of Krishna, we see it may appear that Krishna is actually having so many faults. The process of Krishna consciousness may appear to be having so many faults. But when a person practices Krishna consciousness seriously and sincerely, then he will see that over a period of time, he will understand that Krishna is the perfect master. So similarly, anything connected with Krishna also has the same characteristics. Srimad Bhagavatam or the books about Krishna, initially it may appear to be boring and repetitive. But when a person starts reading the books, when a person becomes more and more purified, then although he may read the same thing, he will actually he'll find it interesting and he will start relishing. It is just like suppose when a person is taking sweet rice. The person, in every spoon, like kaju kishmish is coming. Like, will you complain? Like, nobody will complain. Oh, why are you serving like dry fruits in every spoon? So one will not complain. So similarly, when a person becomes purified, like, he will not complain that why it is being repeated. So you have to understand that Prabhupada's books may be repetitive, but it is not boring. It appears to be boring because we are not actually purified. So when we become purified, then it will actually, we'll be able to relish. Like in the 18th chapter of the Gita, Sanjaya says, Rajan samsmritya samsmritya samvadam imam adbhutam keshavar junayo punyam krishyamichi muhur muhu. He says, O king, as I repeatedly recall this wondrous dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna, I take pleasure being thrilled at every moment. So Sanjaya is saying that when I recall this conversation between Krishna and Arjuna, I am getting a thrill at every moment. So Srila Prabhupada says, in other words, one who hears the Gita from the right source, directly from Krishna, attains full Krishna consciousness. The result of Krishna consciousness is that one becomes increasingly enlightened and he enjoys life with a thrill, not only for some time, but at every moment. So that is the thing, that when a person becomes purified, that one actually, one will be able to relish the same thing with a thrill at every moment. Like the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam is explained about how when a person hears this transcendental subject matter, how a person becomes very effulgent. Because Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, they contain the words of Krishna and his devotees. They are actually transcendental sound vibrations. So when a person hears this sound vibration, one becomes completely purified. It even affects one's physical appearance, it affects even one's physical health. Like in the third canto, it is described about Kardama Muni. This sage Kardama Muni performed austerities for thousands of years. And after performing austerity for thousands of years, finally Lord Vishnu appeared in front of Kardama Muni. Then Kardama Muni offers a series of prayers to Lord Vishnu. Then Lord Vishnu becomes pleased with Kardama Muni. And then finally, Lord Vishnu actually leaves that place. Again, goes back to the spiritual world. And then it is described about Kardama Muni that Kardama Muni's body was actually shining brilliantly. Although he had engaged in austere penance for a very long time. So usually when a person engages in severe austerities for a long time, that person will appear very emaciated and very skinny. He will not appear very attractive. But then it is described that Kardama Muni, although he had actually performed austerities for so many, such a long time, he was actually shining brilliantly. What is the reason? Because the Supreme Lord had cast his affectionate slide-long glance upon Kardama Muni. And Kardama Muni had heard the sound vibrations emanating from the mouth of the Supreme Lord. He had heard the transcendental sound vibrations emanating from the Supreme Lord. Because he heard the sound vibrations, so although Kardama Muni had performed austerities for such a long time, he was shining brilliantly. So Srila Prabhupada says that Kardama Muni looked healthy because he had directly received the nectarian sound vibrations from the lotus lips of the personality of Godhead. Similarly, one who hears the transcendental sound vibration of the holy name of the Lord also improves in health. So Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and the holy names of the Lord, they are all actually transcendental sound vibrations. Bhagavad Gita is actually the sound vibration directly emanated from the Supreme Lord. So when we actually give oral reception to these sound vibrations, even one's physical health is actually improves, as we see from the example of Kardama Muni. Uh-huh. And the next reason, in fact, one of the reason which devotees may tell that for not reading Srila Prabhupada's books, they may say that ultimately our goal is to become a devotee of the Krishna. So when we read books, it will make a person jnani. Huh. And we don't want to become jnanis, we want to become devotees. Huh. So that is why we don't want to read books. Huh. So but then, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, adyeshyate chaya imam dharmyam samvadam avayo. After speaking the Gita, Krishna says that I declare that he who studies the sacred conversation which happened between me and Arjuna, he is actually worshipping me by his intelligence. So Krishna is saying that one who studies this Bhagavad Gita is actually worshipping me by his intelligence. So studying Bhagavad Gita is not an act of jnani. It is actually, it will help us to become devotees. It will help us to become better devotees. In another purport in the fourth canto, Maitreya Rishi describes about a great devotee called Prithu Maharaj. So there he describes the qualities of Prithu Maharaj. He says that Prithu Maharaj, he was equal to Brihaspati in spiritual knowledge. Brihaspati is the spiritual master of the demigods. He said Prithu Maharaj was equal to Brihaspati in the spiritual knowledge. That Srila Prabhupada says that Prithu Maharaj, although a great devotee constantly engaged in the loving service of the Lord, he could also defeat all kinds of impersonalists and mayavadis by his profound knowledge of Vedic scriptures. And he says, we should learn from Prithu Maharaj that a Vaishnava or a devotee must not only be fixed in the service of the Lord, but if required, must be prepared to argue with the impersonalist mayavadis with all logic and philosophy and defeat their contention that the absolute truth is impersonal. So here we see that Prithu Maharaj was such a great devotee, but he was also, at the same time, was learned in the scriptures. Because Srila Prabhupada says, a devotee should be prepared to defeat the arguments of impersonalists and other philosophers and establish pure devotional service as the highest path. So by reading Srila Prabhupada's books, it will actually help us to preach Krishna consciousness. It will help us to become better devotees. And another reason usually devotees give for not reading Srila Prabhupada's books, one may say that actually I am not from educated background, so I am not used to reading books. Or one may say, I came to Krishna consciousness in such a advanced stage, I lost touch of reading books. So how can I to again develop habit of reading books? It's difficult, one may say like that. So in this regard, actually we must understand that our aim in reading Srila Prabhupada's books is, it's not that we want to become scholars, but we actually want to read, we have to read Srila Prabhupada's books according to our capacity. So everyone has some capacity. So we have to read according to our capacity. It's not that we want to become scholars. Like the Maitreya Rishi says in the third canto, he says, Tatapi kirtayam anga yata mati yata shrutam. Kirtim hare swam satkartum giram anyabhidasatim. Says, in spite of my inability, whatever I have been able to hear from my spiritual master and whatever I could assimilate, I am now describing in glorification of the Lord by pure speech. For otherwise, my power of speaking would remain unchaste. So Maitreya Rishi's mood is very important, very interesting. He says that I am just describing the glories of the Supreme Lord according to my capacity and according to what I have heard from my spiritual master. And according to my ability, I am actually describing. So similarly, we have to, everyone has some capacity. So one we have to read according to our capacity. Like I remember that when I first came to Krishna consciousness, when I first met one devotee, I went to his room in the hostel. So that time I saw this big, big volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam. So when I saw those books, I literally became scared. Already I have to read so many college books, then these books containing so many difficult Sanskrit verses. So it will be like, so this process is not meant for me, I thought like that. So but then slowly over a period of time, by associating with the devotees, by becoming more purified, by the mercy of the devotees, we are able to read more books. So we see that and we realize that we have certain capacity. So at present we may think, oh, we don't have capacity to read. But then every person has some capacity. So we have to use that capacity to read Srila Prabhupada's books. Otherwise, our tongue will remain unchaste. Here Maitreya Rishi is saying, if I do not describe the glories of the Lord, my power of speaking would remain unchaste. So everyone, if we do not read scriptures, we'll be reading something else. Because by every person, by instinct, he wants to know about something unknown. So if we do not read scriptural books, we'll be reading something else. So in order to purify our faculty, in order to purify our intelligence, we have to read books according to our capacity. And reading Srila Prabhupada's books is actually equivalent to directly associating with Srila Prabhupada. So one may say that so many devotees had the fortune of personally associating with Srila Prabhupada, but we do not have the personal association of Srila Prabhupada. But then in the first canto, Suta Goswami says, Aho vayam janma brutadhi hasma vriddhanu vrityapi viloma jata. Suta Goswami says, although I am born in a mixed family, although I am born in a low family, but I have become purified by serving a great soul and by hearing from the great souls. And then he says, Daushkulya madhim vidunoti shigram mahattamanam abhidana yoga. He says that simply by conversing with a great soul, one can cleanse oneself of all one's disqualifications due to birth. So all one's disqualifications due to birth can be purified by conversing with a great soul. So one may say, so we can actually purify ourselves by conversing with a great soul. But then we do not have association of Srila Prabhupada. So how can we purify ourselves? So Srila Prabhupada writes in that purport, he comments on this particular word, Mahattamanam Abhidana Yoga. He says, conversation, Mahattamanam Abhidana Yoga, it also means dictionary of the great souls. And dictionary of the great souls means the books left by the great souls. So conversing with a great soul is equivalent to reading the books written by the great souls. And then he says, when we read the books written by the great souls, also one can actually become purified, one can cleanse oneself of the disqualifications due to birth. In fact, once a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada that, Srila Prabhupada, I want to be situated at your lotus feet eternally. I want to be situated at your lotus feet all the time. So Prabhupada said, my lotus feet keep moving. So better you take shelter of my books. And moreover, taking shelter of Srila Prabhupada's books is actually equivalent to associating with Srila Prabhupada. And so let us now compare mundane books with Srila Prabhupada's books. So when we see mundane books, they may be huge. I see that many medical students, they read such huge books, thousands of pages. So, but then mundane books, when we read mundane books, they give homework for us to practice for few decades. People read medical textbooks so that they can practice medicine for ultimately for maybe 2 or 3 decades, till the age of 50 or something like that. But when we Srila Prabhupada's books, the difference is, in few sentences, Prabhupada gives homework for us to practice for many lifetimes. So mundane books, when we read, that gives homework for us to practice for few decades, but Prabhupada's books give homework for us to practice for few lifetimes, in few sentences. So some of the top-selling books, many of the top-selling books, they are about atheism, and they are about like how religion causes violence. Because at one point of time, a few years back in Australia, they made a survey that the top three best-selling books were about atheism and how religion causes violence. But Srila Prabhupada's books actually gives real formula for peace. In fact, in Srila Prabhupada's books, even one sentence or even one word-to-word translation can actually enlighten a person with so much of knowledge that one will never forget that. Like I remember, I heard from another devotee that in the first canto, after Krishna disappeared from this world, Arjuna was actually recollecting how Krishna helped him in so many different situations. At that time, Arjuna speaks a verse. He says, Desha kalartha yuktani hrittapo pashamani cha haranti smaratas chittam govinda abhitani me. Arjuna is saying, now I am attracted to those instructions imparted to me by the personality of Godhead, because they are impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space. Krishna is saying, now I am attracted to those instructions which Krishna imparted to me in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And those instructions, they have the capacity to extinguish all the miseries in all time and place. So in this word, Arjuna, in this verse, Arjuna addresses Krishna by the word Govinda. So usually, Prabhupada gives a word-to-word translation for Govinda as one who gives pleasure to cows and senses. But in this verse, Prabhupada translates Govinda as the supreme personality of pleasure. So here we see that actually Arjuna is speaking this verse in one of the most distressful situation, because Arjuna was just defeated by some infidel cowherdman. Arjuna, when he went to see Krishna in Dwaraka to find out the future plans of Krishna, he came to know that Krishna had disappeared from this world, and then he was bringing the queens of Krishna to Hastinapur. So at that time, Arjuna was defeated by some infidel cowherdman. For a person like Arjuna, who had defeated personalities like Bhishma, Drona, and Lord Shiva, to be defeated by some infidel cowherdman, it is like a big insult. So at that time, Arjuna is actually speaking this particular verse. So Arjuna is in the most distressful condition. At that time, Arjuna is speaking this verse, and Arjuna is calling Krishna by the word Supreme Personality of Pleasure. So here we see that this shows that Arjuna experienced such highest pleasure in remembering the Supreme Lord, that in the time of the most distressful condition, he is calling Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Pleasure. Usually when a person in the most distressful condition, one will blame the Supreme Lord. But Arjuna is actually calling Krishna by the word Supreme Personality of Pleasure. So in this way we can see that just a word-to-word translation of Srila Prabhupada actually can enlighten us so much. It gives us faith that how this Krishna consciousness, remembrance of Krishna, can actually give such intense pleasure that it can actually make us transcend the miseries in the most difficult situation. So that is why Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, in the fourth canto, he says that a sincere devotee should read every chapter and every word of Srimad Bhagavatam, for the beginning verses describe that it is the ripened fruit of all Vedic literature. Devotee should not try to avoid even a word of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srila Prabhupada is saying that one should not miss even one word of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned, Janmad yasya yatonvayat itaratas chartesh abhijna swarat. The first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam tells what is absolute truth. Janmad yasya. Absolute truth is that which is the cause of creation, maintenance and annihilation. And absolute truth is the material and efficient cause of everything. And then it is described, Srimad Bhagavatam says, and absolute truth or the personality of Godhead is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations. And then it says, Swarat, Abhijna Swarat, the Supreme Lord is completely independent. Nobody is actually, everyone is dependent on the Supreme Lord and he is not dependent on anybody else. And that Supreme Lord is one who actually revealed the Vedas to Lord Brahma. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye. And he is difficult to understand even for the, even great sages are bewildered by the Supreme Lord. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye Muhyanti Yat Suraya. Even the great sages and demigods are bewildered about the Supreme Lord. And then it is described, Tejo Vari Mridam Yata Vinimayo. It means the Supreme Lord is, or absolute truth is difficult to understand even for the sages. And the body of the absolute truth, the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is thought to be made of matter due to illusion. Krishna appears in the spiritual body, but then many times people actually think Krishna's body to be material because of illusion. So the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam defines what is absolute truth. How great the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the cause of the creation, maintenance and annihilation. He is the supremely independent person. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations. He is the one who revealed Vedas to Lord Brahma, etc. And the second verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, second verse tells the power of Srimad Bhagavatam. Second verse says, Sadhyo Hrid Avarudhyo Detra Kritibit Susrusbit Takshanat. Second verse says that absolute truth, which is actually described in the first verse, that personality of Godhead, which is described in the first verse, he becomes captured immediately in the heart of a person who gives oral reception to the words of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sadhyo Hrid Avarudhyo Detra Kritibit. The absolute truth becomes immediately captured in the heart of a person who actually gives oral reception to Srimad Bhagavatam. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that even by those people who have suddenly developed a desire to hear the words of Srimad Bhagavatam, even such people can actually capture the Supreme Lord in their heart. So this is the power of hearing the transcendental vibration, the power of hearing the words of Srimad Bhagavatam. So when we hear this, we will develop inspiration to read Srimad Bhagavatam. And another important reason for reading Srila Prabhupada's books is that when we actually try to preach Krishna consciousness, when we quote from the scriptures, it actually gives a weight to the message. Just like suppose riots are taking place in a place. suppose police goes there, police different policeman goes there, but if he's not having any if he's not carrying any ammunition, if he's not having a gun, like nobody will bother about the police. But if he's having a powerful gun, that itself will act as a deterrent. By seeing the gun, like people will become scared. Oh, I have to stop. Behave properly. Like many places, securities are there. But security, if only the person is there, then it's not. But if he's not carrying any weapons, then like thieves will not become. They'll not at all be afraid. But if a security is having some weapons, then that will act as a deterrent to actually keep away the thieves. So similarly, when we actually, when we preach Krishna consciousness, when we try to quote from the scriptures, then the other person, before giving something in argument, he will think twice. Or maybe he knows something. I can't speak anything and everything. So that quoting from the scriptures, that actually gives a, that acts as a deterrent. Like, there is a person called Mr. Izzard. This person is such a fanatic belonging to one particular religion. He quotes from the Vedas, Rig Veda, this particular verse, Sama Veda, this particular verse. Actually, if you see that particular verse, what he speaks is not there. But he is having a fake gun, fake ammunition. But people become like scared by that. Maybe he knows so many, so much of scriptures. And then actually when devotees refer to those particular verses, what that person says is not mentioned in those verses. By his fake guns, he's actually able to scare so many people. So what to speak of when you actually carry real guns? That means when we actually truly learn the scriptures and quote from the scriptures, how it will act as a deterrent in preaching Krishna consciousness. And another reason for reading Srila Prabhupada's books is Srila Prabhupada wanted us to study his books because Prabhupada took so much of trouble to actually to give translation and give purports to these books. So to show gratitude to Srila Prabhupada, we should actually study these books. In the third canto, it is described, Yekanta labam vachasonu pumsam sushloka mauler gunavada mahu shrutescha vidvad birupakritayam kata sudayam upasamprayogam. My Vidura is saying, the highest perfectional gain of humanity, Yekanta labam, the highest perfectional gain of humanity is to engage in the discussions of the activities and glories of the pious actor. Sushloka maule. So everyone is interested in the activities of some actor. In fact, newspapers and magazines, they are filled with activities of some actors and actresses. So if you are not reading about the pious actor, we have to read about the impious actors and actresses. Although so much of matter is there about these actors and actresses, but they are actually impious. But Krishna is called here as the pious actor. So Vidura is saying the highest perfectional gain of humanity is to engage in the discussions and activities of the glories of the pious actor. And he says, Shrutescha vidvadbir upakritayam. Such activities are so nicely arranged in writing by the greatly learned sages that the actual purpose of the ear is served just by hearing, by being near them. So these activities of the Supreme Lord, they are written so carefully, so painstakingly, by the great sages, by Srila Prabhupada. So our duty is to actually to read this to read Srimad Bhagavatam, to read, to give an oral reception to this subject matter. By that we can get the highest perfectional gain of humanity. And finally we will try to speak, we will try to understand what is the attitude in reading and what is the ultimate purpose of reading scriptures. So the ultimate purpose of reading scriptures is to remember Krishna. Rupa Goswami says that the purpose of all the rules and regulations is to always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. That is why King Kulashekar says, Amnai Abhyasanan Aranya Ruditam Veda Vratan Anvaham. Says that mere recitation of the Vedic scriptures without remembrance of Krishna is simply like crying in the wilderness of the forest. So the purpose of the reading scriptures or reciting the Vedic scriptures is actually to remember Krishna always. In fact, the Srimad Bhagavatam gives an interesting analogy. It says that if a person reads scriptures but does not fix his mind on Krishna, but does not surrender to Krishna, he is simply doing a hard labor of taking care of a cow that gives no milk. This may not seem very relevant to us because we may not have experience of taking care of cows. But then Hridayan Maharaj explains in the purport, and you may hear from devotees who actually take care of cows. In order to take care of cows, actually it requires a lot of labor. Like you have to feed the cow, and you have to take the cow on a pasturing ground. And for that you have to have a pasturing ground. You cannot take to anybody's pasturing ground. You have to have the pasturing ground. In order to protect the pasturing ground, you have to grow those plants and vegetables. And then you have to guard them against the weeds. And you have to guard those pasturing ground from other animals by putting a fence. So much of labor is required. And you have to bathe the cow, and you have to brush the cow. Like so much of labor is there. And after taking care of the cow, suppose if the cow gives no milk, so what is the use of taking care of such a cow? So similarly, Krishna is telling to Uddhava, the reading of the Vedic literature without fixing the mind on the Supreme Lord, it is simply a wasted labor of actually taking care of a cow that gives no milk. And what is the attitude in reading? So His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj said in a lecture, says that if you read Srila Prabhupada's books with a sense of urgency, then every word will penetrate our heart and change our life. Intellect and logic reason cannot go beyond material elements, but faith goes beyond intelligence and logic. So one has to actually read in the mood of urgency, one has to read with eagerness, then one will actually able to feel that every word of Srila Prabhupada is actually, it is very relevant to me. So when that mood is there, then actually one will be able to digest. In fact, Srila Prabhupada says that just like one can feel the result of eating food, so similarly, when a person reads or hears the subject matters, one can actually feel the result of reading this spiritual subject matter. Just like when a person is hungry, when he eats food, he can perceive the result. So similarly, when a person is having that spiritual hunger, and when a person reads these books, then he will be able to perceive how the subject matter is actually extinguishing his hunger. And when a person is reading books, one should dive deep into the books. It's like in a diamond mine, when in order to extract the diamonds, one has to dive deep into the mine. So similarly, in order to extract the diamond-like realizations of Srila Prabhupada, one has to dive deep into the books. And when a person dives deep into the mines, then whatever the words he speaks, that will keep on reverberating. Similarly, when a person dives deep into the books and then extracts the diamond-like realizations of Srila Prabhupada, those realizations of Srila Prabhupada will keep on reverberating in our hearts, and we will never forget those realizations. And another important attitude in reading books is one should have a balance of service and study. It is said, service and study makes a person steady in practicing Krishna consciousness. So, along with reading Srila Prabhupada's books, one has to have the service attitude. That will actually make a person steady. Just like in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Parishit Maharaj asks a question. He says that, please describe the inner and outer space of the universe by specific divisions, as well as the character and activities of the great souls, and also the characteristics of different classifications of castes and orders of social life. Parishit Maharaj is asking, please describe the inner and outer space of the universe. So he is so inquisitive that he wants to know the inner and outer layers of the universe. But that shows his actually intelligence. He wants to study scriptures, he wants to know more. But at the same time, he's asking another question, please also describe the character of great souls. That shows his service attitude. And you want to know the character of great soul, that means you want to serve that person. So Parishit Maharaj had both service attitude and he also want to study the scriptures. So these are the two combinations for making steady progress in Krishna consciousness. And another important point is that along with reading Srila Prabhupada's books, along with reading books, one has to develop other qualities. Like for example, when we read from the 16th chapter, when Krishna mentions these qualities, he says, Swadhyaya Tapa Arjavam. After Swadhyaya, the qualities he mentions is Tapasya and Arjavam, austerity and simplicity. If a person is simply having scriptural study but does not develop the other two qualities, it's not of much use. So one has to develop the other qualities. That is, when Lord Balaram, when he went on a pilgrimage, so he went to this place and he saw this Romaharshan Suta sitting on the Vyasasan, and he did not, all the sages got up to pay respects to Balaram, but this Romaharshan Suta did not get up to respect Balaram. So Balaramji said, this person's study of the scriptures simply like an actor studying his part. When a person studies the scriptures without developing the other qualities, it is simply like an actor trying to mug up his dialogue. And then he says, because he is not self-controlled or humble and vainly presumes himself as a scholarly authority, he has failed to conquer his own mind. And then Balaramji kills Romaharshan Suta. So that is why we see, when Krishna also talks about Swadhyaya, immediately after that he mentions Tapasya and Arjavam, other qualities. So that's why it's important to have this attitude. And when a person reads books, when a person tries to share it with others, and that actually helps in his understanding. So Prabhupada says that instead of the hearing and explaining is more important than merely reading of the scriptures. Like suppose a cow is there, but if you are not taking milk from the cow, actually that cow will become sick. Taking milk from the cow, it will only improve the health of the cow. So similarly, if a person is simply reading but does not share with others, so that is like a cow from which milk is not taken away. So that will actually make a person sick. In fact, by sharing it with others, his understanding will increase more. So in this way, We saw different reasons for why we should read scriptures. So to summarize that, we talked about that how there are three ways of acquiring knowledge: pratyaksha praman, anumana praman, and shabda praman. And we talked about how we can get highest knowledge by hearing from the scriptures, because pratyaksha and anumana praman, they depend on our senses, which are actually imperfect in nature. And then we talked about different reasons for why we should read scriptures. We talked about how every person by instinct, he wants to know about unknown subject matter. And reading, developing an attraction for Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is a qualification for devotional service. And it is also important for our own personal application too, so that we can take inspiration to practice Krishna consciousness. And it is important for our preaching, in order to preach to others. And then we also talked about how it is important to have a healthy dependence on Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. It is better to avoid healthy extreme dependence and extreme independence on any of the three. One has to have healthy dependence on all the three. And then we talked about how Prabhupada's books may be repetitive, but they are not boring. But they appear to be boring because we are not yet purified. Like, one devotee gave this example. It's like when a person is having a wound, then if you apply Dettol, then you'll get a burning sensation. But if there is no wound, then you'll actually feel a cooling sensation. So when we are not having contamination within, those repetitive words of Srila Prabhupada will appear to be boring for us. But when we are purified, those words will be relishing to us. Then we talked about what is the attitude in reading Srila Prabhupada's books. So in this way, so today we discussed about this quality, divine quality of Swadhyaya. So next week onwards, other devotees will be discussing other qualities. Stop here. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.